Hey, everybody. Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. And coming up on today's show, we'll preview Thursday night's AFC North matchup between the Steelers and the Browns, and we'll give you our best bets. Plus, we'll give you the scoop on some sketchy lines that you might want to stay away from in week three. But first, let's welcome in our guy, Kenny Betts Big, Mr. Wednesday. How's it going, Kenny?
Not too bad. Coming off a brutal night in betting some baseball, but you know what they say, you're only as good as the next bet, so let's make some money today.
Okay, I like that. You're only as good as your next bet, not your last bet. Okay, exactly. Kenny, stay right there. It's time to get into Mox Thought, and it's one of my favorite subjects, to be honest. Trey Lance is out for the season with an ankle injury, and now Jimmy G is back in the spotlight in San Francisco. So are the 49ers legit Super Bowl contenders with Jimmy G? Now, you know that you're talking to the biggest Niners fan that there possibly ever is. So, of course, I'm going to say yes. However, I don't want to overreact to the one game that he came in versus the very lowly Seahawks. But they do have a stacked roster on both ends of the ball. The 49ers defense has been playing lights out, minus a few bad penalties in a monsoon. The offense is definitely clicking under Jimmy. The team looked relaxed. They felt more confident instantly as he came in. And you can really see how much they love Jimmy by the way that they rallied around him after he rushed on the goal line. Everyone knows that this is a business, and I think they want to support Trey, and they were, you know, they wanted him to be the best that he could be. But at the same time, they're ready to win right now, especially a lot of those veterans. And I think they feel much more confident now that they have Jimmy. I do think that the Niners can take the NFC West. We're going to get into some maybe overreactions a little bit. And one, I don't think Seattle's that good. I don't think that the Cardinals are going to be that good. And the Rams seem like they're having a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. So I feel like the Niners can take the NFC West. I do feel like they're contenders for the Super Bowl. I don't know if anyone can dethrone the Bills. And, you know, the Chiefs are up there as well. So will we win the Super Bowl this year? I don't know. Are we contenders now that we have Jimmy G? I definitely think so. Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, how can you argue against it? Once Jimmy G came into the game, the Niners looked like a totally different team, right? Yeah. I think I even messaged you and said, wow, the Niners are back to being legit contenders now. I think you were at a bar Sunday. I can only imagine that scene when Trey Lance went down. You were probably, you know, screaming for joy as your guy Jimmy came in.
So it was so interesting. So I was at a 49ers bar. So all 49ers fans inside. And interestingly enough, this bar doesn't have food. And so I had to order food out. And so I went outside to grab the food. I was came back, bring it down, setting it out for all my friends. And then I look up and I see Jimmy G warming up. So I didn't even actually see him break his ankle right when it happened. Obviously, I saw the replay. But I was like, wait, what happened? Why is Jimmy G warming up right now? And then, of course, we saw what happened. I feel bad for Trey Lance. But I was happy for Jimmy. I was excited as a fan. I felt a sense of ease like, oh, okay, we got this now. Because I think anytime that you have a rookie in there, you just don't know what they're going to do. You expect them to make mistakes. You expect them to just be a little bit more gun shy. But everyone in the bar was cheering and elated. My family was all at the game and they said it was so loud in the stadium with cheers when Jimmy G came on the field. He had to motion to them to be quiet because he couldn't even hear the headset. So the fans and the players love Jimmy G. That's not a knock against Trey Lance. I think, again, they understand this is a business decision and that Trey Lance has the tools to be the future of the franchise. But when it comes to right now and winning right now, I think the fans and the players are happy that Jimmy is back at center.
Yeah, and you know, looking, it's obviously easier said now in hindsight, but wow, thank God you guys kept Jimmy G. Imagine they had dealt him somewhere and then Trey Lance goes down week two. You know, I can only imagine what the conversation we would be having right now. I think the Niners definitely look better with him under center. You know, there's that familiarity from him from last year, right? The team looked great last year. They brought a lot of those good pieces back. So, yeah, I think with Jimmy, the veteran leadership, you know, we saw him in New England when Tom Brady went down. He was a winner there. The guy's just a winner. So, you know, I thought he should have been starting to start the season. I don't care that they drafted Trey Lance. You know, Jimmy G looked great last year. He really, you know, a dropped interception away from going to the Super Bowl. So it was kind of unfortunate to see him lose that starting job. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, God, if you will, just putting all the pieces back the way they should be, right?
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. I do feel like Jimmy has, and again, nothing against Trey Lance. I would never wish that on anybody, but it does seem like everything is happening the way it's supposed, it does seem like everything is happening the way it's supposed to for both Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like, you know, karmically, Jimmy is supposed to start this season. What I find to be so interesting too is like, how about all those teams that passed on Jimmy? We are so lucky that we still have Jimmy, but they were trying to deal him in the offseason. How are you doing, Colts? How are you doing, Panthers? Y'all passed on Jimmy G and look where you've ended up. So I think we were incredibly lucky to be able to keep him, that he didn't go those places. I think those places are probably wondering why, like, oh man, that shoulder, and he wasn't going to, you know, be there for training camp isn't actually that big of a deal, because maybe we'd be winning some of those games. But I just feel redemption for Jimmy. And it feels like 2017. You know, he came in with a hurt quarterback in that game in the rain. And you know, again, I don't want to overreact over one game, but I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think the Niners are one of the better value teams to bet on to win the Super Bowl, right? If you look at their odds compared to some of their, you know, the Bucks and the Bills, you're getting a ton of value on a very complete team. The Niners defense is legit. The front seven there, one of the best in the league. And now you have a veteran quarterback that's a proven commodity in the NFL.
Right now, Kenny, the odds for them to win the Super Bowl are plus 2,000. To win the conference, NFC, it's plus 900. And then to win the division, it's plus 150. So yeah, at plus 2,000, those are great odds. Like you said, the Bills are plus 400, Tampa Bay plus 700. So you're getting a lot of value there.
Yeah. Like, let me ask you, who in the NFC would you even put ahead of them? You know, there's...
I mean, the Eagles look pretty good right now. I'm not saying I would put them ahead of us, but I think our biggest threats are definitely going to be in the AFC. The Bills and the Chiefs are the scariest teams right now in the NFL. I think that the Eagles are playing really good ball. Tom Brady, I know he's your guy. I sense a little bit of fall off there. I don't think anyone in the NFC West is a problem for us. The only people I can see is kind of, you know, would be a good matchup would be the Eagles right now. But yeah, you're right. Other than that, not a lot going on in the NFC.
Yeah, that's why I've told a few of my friends, like, if you're taking any future bets to win the Super Bowl, you have to bet the NFC teams, just because the path to get there is significantly easier. The AFC is a total crapshoot. Like, literally, one through what is it, seven teams or eight teams make the playoffs now? You know, one through eight, any team that gets in the AFC could really make a push to get there. So AFC is up for grabs.
All right, Kenny, overreaction or not, the Dolphins are legit AFC contenders.
I'm going to say a slight overreaction. You know, looking back to last week, I know they won the game, so, you know, you can't really say too much, but they were getting blown out by the Baltimore Ravens. I think I saw a stat out of like 712 teams heading into the fourth quarter, down 21 or more, the Dolphins were the one team that has actually won the game. So, you know, odds were saying that they should have lost that game. So I don't want to say they're a legit contender, but they do look good. Tua looks good. Tyreek Hill is doing Tyreek Hill things. So they definitely have a chance.
Look, if we're looking at, are they legit AFC contenders, meaning to win the AFC, I would say, yes, this is an overreaction. Like you said, it's hard to sing anything but praise for that fourth quarter comeback against the Ravens, especially with how well Lamar Jackson was playing in that game. Tua did have six touchdowns, which is pretty incredible. Do you know right now he leads the NFL in passing yards on passes of 10 plus air yards? He's got 434. But it was a massive defensive breakdown by the Ravens that allowed that to happen. I still don't think that they can hold a candle to the Bills or the Chiefs or even the Chargers. McDaniels has done a great job and they're trending in the right direction. I feel like they're a contender for the playoffs, but not to win the AFC. All right, next, overreaction or not, the Rams are experiencing a Super Bowl hangover.
I would agree with that. I would also think that the team has taken a step back a little in talent, right? No Von Miller, no Odell Beckham. If you look back to last year, you know, the Rams were kind of struggling at some point, and then they got Odell Beckham and they got Von Miller, and that kind of reinvigorated them for the late season push into the playoffs. Now they don't have those guys, and we're kind of, you know, they kind of look like they're coming back down to earth a little. Stafford, he's a lot older. He had that elbow problem coming into the season. So I think it's just a little bit of age catching up, as well as maybe a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover there.
I agree with you. I don't necessarily think that this is an overreaction, that they're experiencing a Super Bowl hangover. They got blown out by the Bills. They barely beat the Falcons, Kenny. The Falcons. They're an older team, like you said. They lack depth. They went for broke. They got their Super Bowl, and now they look as you would expect them to look. I think the Cardinals can beat them next week. I think the Niners can beat them to win the division. So I would say, yeah, last year was their year. They went for broke, and congratulations. You got one Super Bowl out of all of that.
You know what a interesting stat was? I saw this before week one, before they played the Bills. Of previous Super Bowl winners, there had only been five of them who opened up as underdogs week one. And of those five, four of them failed to make the playoffs. So, you know, obviously that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but looking how the Rams have performed so far, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they, if that kind of, that trend continues.
I wouldn't be shocked that with that either. So let's move on to the NFC East. Are the Giants actual contenders in the NFC East? I almost called them the least. The East. Yeah.
I mean, they got two undefeated teams. I don't know if they're the NFC least anymore. I would say kind of, because the Eagles have looked really, really good. I actually put a bet for the Eagles to win that division before the season. I love it right now. I think they're like minus 210 to win the NFC East. So I would say they're legit. I mean, they're 2-0. The division is really up for grabs, as we say every year. You know, those guys kind of all beat up on each other. They always steal games from one another. So I would say they're semi-contenders, because the Eagles look really good. The Giants haven't looked great in their wins, but they're winning. So you got that positive for them.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you and say ish, they're contenders. Yeah. Like you said, first time they're 2-0 since, I believe, 2016 or 2014. It's been a while. Do I think that they can win the division? No, I think that's going to go to the Eagles. But Washington doesn't look that great. Dallas doesn't look very good. Their season is toast. So who's next? Yeah, okay, sure. I think that they're kind of contenders, and we'll see. I do think that there's a new energy around the team. And, you know, Daboll has just lit a fire under them. And, you know, there's an energy in the city now. People are excited. And so I feel like when you have a coach that believes in you and makes those gutsy choices, it just kind of wakes everybody up. So I think that they could potentially have a winning season, but no, I don't think they're going to win the division.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Saquon was on record saying how like the locker room is just different from a year ago where, you know, you come in, they're playing music, Dable's rapping to Biggie Smalls. So whenever you got that, the energy is infectious, right? Like, you know, people talk about it all the time. If you're around someone who's just negative and it's a gloomy situation, no one wants to be there. But if you're in a positive atmosphere, positive environment, you're going to play harder. You're going to try harder because you want to perform for the guy standing next to you. So, the Giants, they're trending up.
They're trending up. The only thing is Daniel Jones. That's the only question mark I still have for them. I don't know that he lasts the full season, but it's been great to see Saquon Barkley have such a good comeback this season. All right. Overreaction or not, Kyler Murray is worth the contract. 5 years, $230 million with $160 million guaranteed.
Yes, of course.
One
play from last week, it says it all. Yep. The two-point conversion where he ran, I think they like StatCast or whatever, tracked him. He ran 80 yards on that play, just running around the backfield, avoiding the sack, you know, then scampers in for the two-point conversion to ultimately tie the game. He's able to do things on the football field that only a few guys are able to do out there. I think he's definitely worth the money. And when they get DeAndre Hopkins back, they're going to be a totally different team, right? Like you give him one of the most explosive weapons in the NFL to pair him with Hollywood Brown and Zach Ertz. Now they have a lot more options to throw that ball around. So I like the Cardinals, and I think Kyler Murray is worth every penny that they paid him.
I agree. I think the biggest problem with the Cardinals is their coach and Cliff Kingsbury. That's the biggest issue that they have there. He still ranks in the top 10 in several statistical categories. So he's a great quarterback. He's only getting better. Like you said, DeAndre Hopkins coming back. If there's any problem with the Arizona Cardinals, it's in the coaching. Moving on, the Bengals, will they miss the playoffs based on the first two games? With a loss to the Jets this week, they will have started 0-3 for the first time since 2019. When they started 0-11, Kenny, and they finished 2-14. The Bengals are just the seventh team to lose in the Super Bowl and start the next season 0-2. Three of those previous six missed the playoffs that season. Overreaction that they're going to miss this year?
Not at all. I think you and I talked about it previously that I actually thought the Bengals were going to miss the playoffs before the season started. I think they're, you know, they looked great last year. It was a great story. Joe Burrow looked amazing. But they're the Bengals at the end of the day. They were going to regress. you know, they were, if you look at their record last year in one score games, they were very good in those one score games. And those are things that don't necessarily translate from year to year, right? Like last year, if you're getting those holding calls going your way, or if you're getting the pass interference calls called in your favor, this year, they're not getting those calls called in their favor. So there was going to be some sort of drop off. I think the teams in their division are better. I think the Ravens are a better team.
Much better.
So I do think there's a very strong chance the Bengals miss the playoffs.
I do too. And I, you know, obviously I don't want to put bad juju out there, but I think there's a very strong chance that Joe Burrow gets injured again this year. He's been sacked 13 times in two games. They added all of these people to the O-line. It was supposed to be stronger. The protection was supposed to be better. And it's, I would even say it's worse than last year. So I don't know how he's going to survive this season if they keep allowing him to get sacked at that rate.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Andrew Luck when he was on the Colts, right? You remember, like, in the beginning of his career, he was taking all these hits and he would trash talk the defenders when they were sacking him. That can't hold up for a long period of time. Like, these guys in the NFL are so big, so fast. When they hit you, it's literally like a car accident. Some of these injuries that they're getting are injuries you would get from serious car wrecks. You know, you got Joe Burrow back there. He's your franchise. You think I guess they did. They went out and got better pieces to bolster up the offensive line. But yeah, it's just not translating to the field. So they got to do something to mix it up because he can't continue at this rate.
He can't continue. And you bring up Andrew Luck, which is the perfect scenario here because he had to retire early because of all of the injuries that he had suffered to his neck and his back. And, you know, you look what happened to Trey Lance. Like you said, these are 350-pound guys that are coming at you with the full force of their body. So it is it's very concerning. And, no, he's not going to be able to sustain that. And I don't think they're going to be able to go far. I asked Danny this on Monday. Yes, we can blame the O-line, but is there any blame on Joe Burrow for the fact that he's being sacked so much? If you look at Josh Allen in the first couple of years, some of the way that he was moving back there in the pocket could have been attributed to him. Do you think that Joe Burrow contributes a little bit in his style of play to the amount that he's getting sacked?
It's funny. I was literally just going to ask you that. Yes, to a degree, because if you watch the Bengals play, they go for broke, right? They love those long balls to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. And when you're calling plays like that consistently, you need a lot of time for those plays to develop. So some degree has to be put on Joe Burrow and the play calling. If you look at Tom Brady, the reason he's been able to play for so long is because he's made his career off getting the ball out quick. And Joe Burrow, their offense is kind of the exact opposite of that, where they have these long developing plays. You're kind of a sitting duck back there after a few seconds. So definitely the play style has a huge effect on that, I would think.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, overreaction or not, the Steelers need to start Kenny Pickett and his small hands right now.
I would say that's an overreaction because, you know, they're 1-1. They're not dead in the water yet. They've been competitive in both games. They could have beat my Patriots last week, but they didn't. And I think I always err on the side of let the guys develop a little bit, right? They're being thrust into an NFL game where the speed is significantly faster than what they're accustomed to playing college, high school. So, you know, we saw guys like Aaron Rodgers, he got to sit and learn under Brett Favre for a few years. And I just think you're at an advantage when you're able to sit there and watch the game from the sidelines and kind of get acclimated that way. Do I think Kenny Pickett has a chance to step in and be a formidable, good quarterback? Absolutely. I think he's going to have a great career in Pittsburgh. But I think the Steelers long-term would be better served letting him, you know, sit, watch a little more and learn. And if things kind of start to tail off and Mitch Trubisky continues to struggle, then maybe you put him in week 4, week 5 after he's, you know, had a few more weeks to get his feet wet.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to say it's not an overreaction. And I agree with everything that you're saying. And normally I want people to develop. I mean, look what I've been saying about Trey Lance for the longest time. But Mitch Trubisky is not Jimmy Garoppolo, okay? Mitch Trubisky right now has 5.1 yards per attempt so far on the year. That would have been good for dead last in the NFL over the past two seasons among qualifying quarterbacks. The fans want it. They're already chanting in Mitch Trubisky's face to put Kenny Pickett in. He's kind of a hometown hero because he went to Pitt. He looks pretty pretty good in the preseason. So I think, yeah, maybe not this week, but we'll see how this week does. I think if Mitch Trubisky craps the bed again, that it's gonna get harder and harder for Tomlin to keep putting Trubisky in and not give Pickett a shot.
And, you know, just like we said with Burrow, you know, some degree of blame has to be on him. Canada, yeah. The offensive coordinator, has to take a huge percentage, yes, of the blame for the play calling. Like you mentioned, Trubisky is throwing, what, 5 yards per attempt? You know, yes, that's been the Steelers' MO the last few years. And their kind of scapegoat was, well, we have Big Ben, you know, he's slow, he's not mobile, we kind of got to get the ball out quick. Well, now you got Trubisky, he can move around, he can do things back there, but yet the play calling is still stagnant and stale. So I think they need to open things up. They have good wide receivers, you know, Claypool, Deontay Johnson. They have the weapons, Najee Harris. Let Trubisky go out there for a game or two and sling it around, see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Just let him go out for a couple plays, even that, like they did with Trey Lance last season. Just let him come out, get his feet wet. I think that would be smart to do. And it puts good pressure on Trubisky, too, to maybe play a little bit better if someone's nipping at his heels. But we'll have to see. Obviously, we know he's not starting this week, but we'll see after week three. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, moving things along, a new segment called Gift or Trap, where we ask our experts. Some of these lines look a little bit fishy. Sometimes the money is going a weird way. Sometimes there's a little bit of reverse line movement. So I'm going to ask Kenny about certain games on the slate for week three and if this spread is a gift or a trap. All right, first up, gift or trap. The Bengals are favored by 5. This moved up. They were 4.5, but that's been bet up to 5 versus the Jets. Bengals money line -220.
So this is a typical trap line, and normally I would say trap, right? The Jets only 5-point underdogs at home, but Bengals back against the wall. They need a win. They haven't looked great the first 2 weeks. I think this week three, we'll see the difference of talent really stand out, right? The Bengals on offense, they have all the explosive pieces we talked about, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow. I think we'll see that kind of shine through here, and I think the Bengals can cover that. If you blindly bet winless teams heading into week three, since 2003, you would be 65-45-1. So it's pretty shocking. So 0-2 teams coming into week three, and if you just think about it from a logic standpoint, it makes sense. The NFL is different than any other like the NFL, the MLB or the NBA, where they have very long seasons. Losing a game or two doesn't necessarily affect your long-term outcome. The NFL, every game matters. So when you're 0-2, if you start 0-3, your chance of getting to the playoffs are very slim. So a Bengals team that came in with high expectations, you know, they have the pieces. They lost to this Jets team last year. So I think they'll come in fully motivated, and I think we'll see a Bengals team that, you know, puts up some points this week.
and can cover the spread. Yeah, I would agree with you on this one. I don't know if I would necessarily call it a gift, but okay. I don't think that it is a trap. I took the Bengals last week. That was a trap game last week, the line for the Bengals. I still fell for it and took them, you know, just under a touchdown, and that I didn't expect that the Dallas would win that game, but I definitely thought that they could keep it closer. It seemed like too big of a line movement just for a quarterback change. So I got caught in the trap last week. I probably stay away from this game, but I would agree with you that the Bengals should definitely cover. Next up, this one is interesting. So you got the Chiefs, who are 2-0 right now, versus the Colts, 0-2. Chiefs minus 6.5 on the road. Is this line a gift or a trap?
This is a trap. The Colts are actually my favorite bet of the week. You know, I think this line was 3.5. Like the look ahead line was 3.5 before the Colts lost last week. Now it's sitting at 6.5. You can find some seven some at some places. This is just a typical overreaction from week to week. Because the Colts just got their doors blown off by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Newsflash, the Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. They're a dome team heading to Jacksonville where it's hot, humid. Typically, it doesn't translate well. That's why they haven't won there for many years now. They get Michael Pittman Jr. back and Alex Pierce, their two best wide receivers. And they get Shaq Leonard back, their all-pro defensive player. So they're getting some key pieces back. And like I just said, 0-2 teams, or teams that are 0-2 against the spread, are one of the best bets you can make in week three. I think this is a Colts team that they typically start slow. Last year, they started 0-3. This year, they're 0-1-1. I forgot they had the tie. But new quarterback, right? There's some new pieces coming in. So there's going to be growing pains. That happens. You got a new quarterback learning a whole new offensive scheme. So I think this is a perfect get right spot for the Colts. I like them on the spread. And I think they win this game, honestly. I like them to win that game outright, because you have the Chiefs coming off that typical division game where they had a high, you know, emotional win against the San Diego Chargers or the LA Chargers. And then they have this game sandwiched in between where they play the Buccaneers the following week. So typical look ahead spot, perfect place to take the Colts here on the spread.
I agree with you. I think that this one is a bit of a trap for all of the reasons that you just said. Todd Furman, also respected handicapper and former odds maker, he tweeted out that he's spoken to several books, and this Chiefs line is the single biggest, or at least it's shaping up to be, it's still early, the single biggest liability for sportsbook right now, because there's so much money from the public that are hammering this Chiefs line. This is going to be an uglier game than I think people are giving it credit for, and I do think that the desperation for the Colts is going to step in. I'm not saying they win this game, but I think they can keep it closer than a touchdown.
Yeah, touchdown in the NFL is a ton. And another trend that I like to really look for is teams coming off losses by 17 or more points, typically against the spread the following week, are very, very good. And again, it's just human nature. You get blown out the week before, you got to step your game up. You got to come prepared the next week, or, you know, you're out of job.
And it could be one of those spots too, where the, you know, I feel like sometimes the better team coming, like you said, coming off of a huge win, they come to someone who's not very good and they get tripped up a little bit. Whereas the other team is like, you know, in complete desperation mode. And sometimes it can kind of tip the scales in the other direction. Let's talk Bills Dolphins. This is one of the more exciting matchups on the slate for this weekend. Bills minus 5.5. They've pretty much blown everybody out so far, including the defending champions. Gift or trap?
This is another trap. You mentioned the Bills have been, the Bills have been blowing everyone out for almost 2 years now. I think I saw a stat yesterday. It's been since last year, 20 consecutive regular season games they've won by 10 plus points. That's very, very good and unheard of, honestly. I mean, when was the last time we saw a team that dominant? You know, looking back the last few years, the Bills have the Dolphins number. They just absolutely dominate them anytime they play. So I think the Dolphins are going to come in with a little chip on their shoulder. You know, they have the momentum from that huge comeback win over the Baltimore Ravens. You hear Tyreek Hill hyping up Tua, hyping up McDaniels. There's a good atmosphere in the locker room. Division opponent, right? 5.5 points. I like the Dolphins here on the spread. And I haven't decided yet, but I think I'm going to take them on the money line as well. And it's not – yeah. Yeah, I like the Dolphins there. Ton of value. It's a ton of value. You're getting a very good team, plus 5.5 at home. Give me the Dolphins.
I'm going to disagree on this one. I'm going to say this line is a gift because I'm not a full believer in Miami. The Ravens were just a couple first downs from winning that game. And again, it was a complete defense collapse, which is definitely not going to happen with the Bills. This defense has been lights out. We know what that offense can do. Yes, Tua threw for six in the fourth quarter, and you can't say enough good things about that comeback, but that's the exception. It's not the rule. That's not what we're going to see from Miami all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills take this one double digits, but you know, you're the expert for a reason. So we'll have to see how that goes next weekend, or this weekend rather.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's move on to Capper's Corner, where we're going to preview tomorrow's game, Steelers versus Browns. Browns favored -4.5, over under 38, really low. What's your, we're going to give our three best bets for this game, but let's go with your first bet.
So I'm going to go Najee Harris anytime touchdown. It's +122. Yeah, so you're getting the plus money there. I like it for a few reasons. The Steelers offense is really going to go as Najee Harris goes. He's got off to a slow start, but I think he'll eventually start picking that up. And it's the short turnaround. So you have Trubisky in a new offense, Sunday to Thursday turnaround. I think they're really going to try and lean on Najee Harris this game, try and keep it, you know, slow pace, let their defense dictate things, and, you know, try and steal the game at the end. It's really their best chance. So I think we'll definitely see Najee Harris have a few chances to punch one in at the goal line.
I love that. I think that's a great bet, especially at plus money. I'm going to take the over 38, which I know is not a popular bet to make right now, especially when you look at the splits. However, and both games did go under last year, but there's a short week for both teams. It seems like they're going to be running the ball a lot. That all lends itself well to the under. The total's been bet down 2.5 points this week. TNF unders 13-5 since last season. But this still feels really, really low at 38. The public is all over the under, 90% of the money. However, according to Action Network, the over is getting more action from professional bettors. I tend to side a little bit more with them. So I'm going to take a little bit of a roll of the dice here, and I'm going to take this over 38.
Yeah, looking at it, I would lean over here as well. I know, like you said, the unders have been a cash cow for primetime games this year. I think they're 6-1 to the under.
Oh, yeah.
You know, typically the NFL is an over league. You know, overs tend to do better, especially I think I saw something earlier where the last few years, the overs have hit more than the unders at the end of week three. So, you know, I think this week we'll start to see some more points put up by some of these teams. And like you said, 38 is low. I could see these teams in like a 24-20 type of game, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely under 50, maybe even under like 45, but 38, I mean, geez, that's so slow. So low. All right, what's your second best bet for TNF?
We're going to go Trubisky to throw at least one interception. So over over half an interception. I think it's -129 on Caesar Sportsbook. Listen, short week, it's Mitchell Trubisky. I don't even think I need to say too much about it. I think the Browns defense will come in very focused after just collapsing to the New York Jets. So I think we'll see Mitch kind of serve one up to the Browns secondary, and we'll cash that one early.
Oh, cash that one early all day. And I love an interception prop. There's been a lot of interceptions this year. A lot of quarterbacks have been, I think there was like 13 or so in the first week alone. I'm also going to kind of fade Trubisky. I'm taking him under 12.5 rush yards. This is at -125. He has 16 rush yards so far this season, 8 per game on average, about 4 yards per carry. In terms of defending against the run, the Browns are 6th in the league, conceding 73.5 yards per game. Why are we bubbling him all the way up to 12.5 here? I think he's going to go under this one.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, third bet.
I'm going to go Steelers first quarter plus a half. It's minus 120. Okay. I think the Steelers defense is kind of their bread and butter this year. So I think they're going to, you know, it's going to be a tight game. It's a division game, two strong defenses. I think we'll see them start off a little slow, you know, kind of both teams start to feel each other out. And I think we can easily cash that. I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers are winning after the first quarter, but you're giving me plus a half. So you got the tie in there as well. So yeah, I like the Steelers first quarter plus a half.
I like this. I think the Browns might win the full game, but I agree with you. Steelers in the first quarter are going to get out there, and that Brissett and Co. might be a little bit slower to start. I'm going to take Brissett actually over 17 and a half pass completions. This one's at plus money, plus 102. He's averaging over this mark so far this season at 20 completions per game. There's no TJ Watt, which makes life a little bit easier on quarterbacks. The Steelers defense actually did not record a sack on 35 pass attempts in week two. The Steelers have run successful plays on just 35.5% of pass attempts on their opponent's side of the field since 2021, second worst in the NFL. I think Brissett can get the completions here.
Yeah, I was looking at the Brissett completions as one of my plays. Just went with the Steelers first quarter. Like you said, the game is a coin flip for me. I see a lot of money, a lot of bets on the Steelers in this one, actually. Typically, I would lean towards the Browns for the full game, but that's why I'm going to just attack the first quarter, hopefully get in, get out, cash one early, and be done.
I love doing first quarter bets because, yeah, like you said, get in, get out, and then, you know, either you're happy or not to watch the rest of the game. All right, so that's our TNF bets. Is there anything that you're eyeing for baseball tonight? I mean, it's early still, so if you haven't handicapped those games, no problem, but just wanted to ask.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the well. I had the Phillies last night. They put up 11 runs and still lost the game somehow. It's unheard of in baseball. If you put up 11 runs, you should win the game. But that's they got wild. Zach Wheeler. Yeah, right? It's a terrible way to lose. But they're playing the Blue Jays again tonight. It's a two-game series. Typically, teams split those series. The Blue Jays take on the Tampa Bay Rays next, which is the team they're battling it out for the top wild card spot. And the Phillies send Zach Wheeler to their mound. It's their ace. You know, he's kind of their, you know, stop the bleeding guy. The Phillies are on a 5-6 game losing streak. I think they really do need to win this game because they're in the wild card hunt as well. They're battling out with the Padres for that final spot. So I think we'll see a Phillies team with a little more urgency tonight. The bats are clearly hot. They dropped 11 runs last night. So the bats are hot. They're awake. So yeah, I think we'll get a dominant performance from Zach Wheeler and the Phillies should take that one. I think they're minus 115. So
all right, that's our guy, Kenny. He wins a lot of money, so if you're not following him on social, make sure you do, at Kenny Betts Big. This has been Moxie Betts, presented by Caesars Sportsbook, and follow us on social as well, at Moxie Betts. We'll see you Friday.